Good morning, friends. I'm so glad that you've joined us here this morning. You know, every 4 years, we have the Olympics. And something that I'm reminded of is that when an athlete wins, they're awarded a bronze medal or perhaps a silver medal and a gold medal. And when they're awarded that, they step up to a podium and a song is played. They don't get to choose that song. That song is already determined for them. If you compete for the United States of America, they play the national anthem. You know, in that moment, that athlete remembers that this was not simply about them and their accomplishment. No, this is about something bigger, something greater. They represent the United States of America. You know, God has a kingdom too. And God's kingdom is full of people from different tribes, different races, different cultures, different colors. And something that God does not want us to lose sight of. He does not want us to lose sight of our individual uniqueness. And He doesn't want us to lose sight of the flag that He flies for the kingdom of God. And the flag that we should be flying in all of our lives. The flag that we are under as a believer of Jesus Christ. And that is the flag of the cross of which Jesus died on. Friends, I want to address something this morning that I think is hard for all of us. We have all of this rioting going on, all this protesting going on, but I just want to say as a pastor, and I think we can all agree on this, is that the murder of George Floyd was evil. The murder of all people is evil. I wish I could say, and I wish everyone could say, that racial injustice and racism and any kind of form of favoritism and classism, I wish I could say that this is completely over and finished in our world and that we're not dealing with this today. But friends, that is absolutely not true. And our call is Christians, as we serve a God who loves justice. The Bible says that God loves justice and righteousness. Our call as Christians that when we see someone who is marginalized, when we see a group that is hurting, no matter the color of their skin, our call as Christians is to do something. Our call is to stand up for the oppressed as Jesus does. You know, friends, we can make new policies. We can make new legislation. We can have all these man-made documents, but those documents do not change the heart of a person. There's only one thing that can change the heart of a person, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ can do that. We have something greater than legislation and policies. We have God's Word. God's Word in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, reminds us that God stamped us with His image. It says, so God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Then we're reminded of the words of Jesus in Galatians chapter 3, verse 38, where Jesus said, there's neither no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. You see, underneath our flag, the cross, there's a level playing field. We're all the same in the eyes of Jesus. But friends, let's face it. We see it in our nation today. The nations are in chaos. Our own United States of America is in chaos. There's a lot of stuff that is boiling underneath the surface of our lives and people's lives that cause a lot of pain. And when we either dismiss people's pain or we dismiss people's experiences, it just heaps on more pain in their lives. Friends, there's so many voices right now in our world. There's so many voices of which life matters more. There's so many different kinds of opinions. There's so many different divides. And as you can see, I'm standing on a bridge today here in Tenasket. And there is only one thing, one person that is able to bridge the divide in our world. And that's Jesus Christ. Like I said, there are so many issues, so many voices that we need to stand up for. One is the life of the unborn child in the womb. We need to stand up for life because all lives matter to God. And I'm going to say this right now, and for some people, it might spark a different kind of emotion, but black lives do matter to God just as much as white lives matter to God, just as much as Asian lives matter to God. But there's a particular community right now in our world that is hurting. And Jesus always went to the hurting. He always went to the oppressed. Jesus was even willing to leave the 99 sheep and go find the one who was hurting. And so Jesus really shows us by the way he lives his life, how he bridges the gap in our lives through salvation, but also reconciliation from man to man. This morning, in our brief time together, I want to talk about how Jesus bridges that gap from different races and culture. This morning, I want to look at the book of John. Pastor Mac just read it for us this morning. But just to kind of set the stage for this, Jesus had just left Judea, we learn. And he was on his way to Galilee. Now, if you turn, not right now, but if you turn in the back of your Bible to the maps you probably never look at, there's a map that probably shows you where Judea is in the south and Galilee to the north. And there's this small little place called Samaria that's right in the middle. And in John chapter 4, verse 4, John makes it a point to tell us that Jesus had to go through Samaria. I don't know why he stresses that, but he does. And we might kind of pick up on that as we go through this. But he stresses it, that Jesus had to go through Samaria. Now, that is very strange because Jews and Samaritans did not get along. Two different cultures, two different races. Jews considered even Samaritans to be dogs. Jews were a mixed race, and Jews and Samaritans had no dealings whatsoever. And so it's shocking when John says that Jesus had to go through Samaria. The first thing I think that Jesus shows us in bridging gaps between culture and race is right here in verses 5 through 7. Jesus was willing to drink from another's cup. Let me read verses 5 through 7 for you. Eventually, he came to the Samaritan village of Sychar near the field that Jacob gave to his son, Joseph. Joseph's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." You know, just in these few short verses, John seems to give quite a lot of attention or a lot of detail to exactly where this well is. And I wondered, why so much attention? Why so much detail? He said it was in a Samaritan village, and he said it was near a field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Why is that all important? You see, though that Jews and Samaritans did not like each other, did not get along, there was this strong hate between the two cultures, Jesus does something here. He's establishing some common ground because Samaritans respected Jacob, and so did Jews. So right from the beginning, he establishes this common ground to be able to talk to this person from this other culture, this other race. And he meets her there. And in verse 7, he says, "Please give me a drink." Friends, this is shocking. This is surprising because no Jew would ever put their lips on a Samaritan cup. And no Samaritan would ever put their lips on a Jewish cup. I mean, this is completely unheard of. And it's shocking and it's surprising. And it's surprising to this woman. Because in verse 9, it says, the woman was surprised. for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Now, I want to stop right there and just kind of notice something in Scripture. How did this woman know that Jesus was a Jew? Jesus didn't tell her that. Was it because the way that Jesus was dressing? Was it his accent? Perhaps it was the complexion of his skin? We don't know. I don't know how that happened. But here's what I do know, is that Jesus did not give up his culture. Remember that God cares so deeply about you and and your uniqueness. He made you to be you. And Jesus does not give up his culture. He does not give up his race of being a Jew. He embraces his uniqueness right there. But you know what he's very good at here? He does not let his culture and what his culture says about Samaritans to get in the way of a relationship with this lady. He doesn't. He does not let his culture get in the way of his ability to speak truth to this person. Remember, Jews and Samaritans, they didn't have any dealings with each other. And he simply says, "Hey, can I drink from your cup? Can I drink from your cup?" You know, I think sometimes racial injustice occurs. And other kinds of times when we marginalize people, it occurs when we are so attached to our own culture, our own traditions, that we begin to live by our own cultural identity instead of living in our identity for God. Friends, if you're a believer in Christ, you are a believer in Christ first. You are a Christian first. And culture and our citizenship in America comes second. And Jesus shows us that. He's willing to sit with this woman and ask for a drink. This is so important here that we see Jesus doing this, because we could have so many opinions, which we do today. There's a divide. And there's not just two sides to all these issues. There's multiple sides. But the fact is that Jesus shows us that he's able to sit with this woman, drink from her cup, something that his culture would not have ever done. And he's able to establish this relationship with her. I think that's why the book of James says, you know, be quick to listen and slow to speak. A question that comes to my mind after seeing Jesus do this is this: am I willing to drink from another person's cup? Of course, you probably don't want to do that in, you know, in COVID-19 and all this other stuff. But am I willing to sit down and listen to other people's stories? Am I willing to listen to people and their experiences in life? It's so easy to dismiss people when we haven't gone through what they have gone through. So am I willing to drink from another person's cup? Jesus shows us that. In verse 10, he goes on to say, Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me and I would give you living water." He goes on to say in verses 13 through 14, Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It's because a fresh, bubbling spring within them gives them eternal life." Now, if you and I had to go to a well every day with a bucket of water, we'd probably say, "Okay, give me that water right now." And that's exactly what she says in verse 15. She says, "Please, sir, give me this water. Then I will never be thirsty again, and I won't have to keep coming to get this water." And Jesus says in verse 16, he changes the conversation a bit. He says, "Well, first go and get your husband." Can you imagine this? He gets all up in her personal business right now. But you know, I think Jesus was able to do that because he was willing to drink from her cup, something that his culture is not willing to do. Verse 17 and 18 go on to say, she says, you know what, I don't have a husband. And Jesus said, you're right. You don't have a husband, for you've had five husbands, and you aren't even married to the man you're with now. He says, you certainly spoke the truth. Jesus confronts her with her sinfulness. And I think most people probably would be offended by what Jesus did. But again, I can't stress this enough. Jesus did something. He crossed this cultural barrier. He did something that his own culture would not do. Something that her own culture would not do. And that was the willingness to sit down and have a conversation with her, which created this common ground in this room to dialogue. Friends, we need an awakening of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We need an awakening, a massive awakening of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our churches all around America today. Friends, we're in trouble. And we need God's Holy Spirit and His guiding in our lives. And I think one of the questions that we don't ask ourselves, and one that we need to be asking in all of humility, is, have I been complicit in any form of racial injustice? Have I been complicit in any form of racism? And if we have, in all humility, with the help of the Holy Spirit, we confess that as sin, and we move forward with Jesus being our model. We move forward with Jesus being our model. And we say, yes, Lord, help me to be willing to drink from another person's cup. The second thing Jesus shows us, he shows us what true worship is all about. And it should come from our heart and not some man-made cultural tradition. Look at verses 19 through 24. It says, sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. I mean, she recognizes he was able to tell her everything about her life. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship, while Samaritans claim it is here on Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worship? Now, I want to stop right here again, because notice that Jesus never said anything about race and anything about culture when the woman in verses 5 through 7 pointed out this divide. Jesus did not address that at all. But he does when she begins to talk about worship of his father. She says, you know what? My mom and dad, they told me, my ancestors have told me, this is the place of worship. And what Jesus is communicating here is, woman, you have some false information. You have some false information about the place of worship and who you worship, because you don't even know who you worship. You see, Samaritans, they believed in and read the first five books of the Bible, but then they also mixed in a lot of other cultural beliefs and traditions. And he's saying, you're wrong about whom you worship. He replies by saying this, believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about who you worship, while we Jews know all about him, for salvation comes to the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it is here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit. For those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You know, friends, when we worship God, it must come from this right motivation of our heart, a right spirit. And when we worship God, It must come from the truth that we find in God's Word, not from what your daddy told you, not from what your mommy told you, not from what your daddy's daddy told you, not from what your ancestors have told you. And that's the Samaritan's problem. She has been worshiping things that were deeply rooted in her culture. She has been deeply worshiping things deeply rooted in history, not things found in the truth of God's Word. So friends, how does that apply to us today? Friends, you might have been raised one way. You might have been raised one way to think one thought about this race or that race or this culture or that culture. But if you have any negative thoughts about one race or another kind of culture, you need to take those and submit those to Jesus and hear His word about what He believes about those people. Because remember, He stamped everyone His image on them. Friends, this is a problem even today. We tend to worship what we've been told by people. We tend to believe what we are told by people. And He's saying, woman, don't do that. You need to worship God in spirit and in truth. What is found in the Word of God. The third thing I think Jesus tells us here actually doesn't come from John 4. It comes from Acts chapter 10 and Galatians 2. I just want to touch on that real quick. Jesus shows us that our true identity is not wrapped up in our culture, but it's wrapped up in His life. There's this story about Peter in Acts chapter 10. Peter was a Jew, and one day he was having a quiet time or some devotions on his rooftop. And as he was praying, he saw this sheet come down from heaven, and it had these animals on it that were unclean, that Jews could not eat. And God told him, He said, Peter, get up and kill those animals and eat. And Peter said, well, I can't do that. Those animals are unclean. I can't eat those. And God says to him in Acts chapter 10, He says, Peter, I am the one who tells you what is clean and what is unclean. And so from there, Peter begins to understand that it is God who tells us what is clean. It is God is the one who even accepts all people to come to know Him. And from there, he begins to go and eat some new foods because God is the one who tells us what is clean. Galatians chapter 2, you see, because of Peter's awakening to God's Spirit, he begins to go eat with Gentiles, people who are not of the Jewish race, and he begins to fellowship with them because God had totally changed his mind and heart on this issue of culture, and he's eating with them. But what happens in Galatians 2, there are some people that show up. And they say, hey, Peter, you can't be with these people. They're not circumcised. They're not a part of the Jewish faith. You know what happens there? Sadly, Peter is influenced by those people. He gets up and he leaves. It says in Galatians chapter 2, 12 through 13, it says, as a result of pressure, Peter got up from the table and left it. And it says in Galatians 2, other Jewish believers followed Peter, and Barnabas was even led astray by their hypocrisy. Peter let the crowd and these different voices influence what God says about people. From there on, in Galatians chapter 2, Paul basically says to Peter, you know what, Peter? You have embarrassed the gospel of Jesus Christ. This flag that we fly under, the cross of Jesus, you have embarrassed it. Because the only requirement for someone to come to know Jesus Christ is not based on what someone eats or what someone looks like. The only requirement for someone to come to know Jesus is by saying, Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I believe that you died and rose again, and you love me and want to provide forgiveness for my sins. That is the only requirement. And then Paul tells him, one of my most favorite verses in Scripture, Paul tells him this: Peter, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Paul gives this verse to say to Peter, Peter, you've been wrapped up too much in this cultural identity. Your identity comes from the Lord Jesus Christ who gave himself up for you. You see, God's truth, the identity we have in Christ, overrides culture. He doesn't want you to give up your culture, but his truth overrides culture. You see, this identity we have in Christ, God's truth, overrides even race. He doesn't want us to give up our race, but he wants to say that his life overrides everything. You know, I think that some of these things in our culture could be fixed if there were more believers that would fully wrap themselves, including myself, up into the identity of God. And we would follow Jesus first and America second. That may not be a popular message today, but some of these things could be fixed in a minute if we came to Jesus. Friends, Jesus is our model. He's willing to drink from another person's cup. Are we willing to do the same? Friends, Jesus is our model, and how he shows us how to worship from the right heart and not worship man-made religion that's been passed down to us through generation and generations and repeating generational sins. No, he wants us to worship his truth. Friends, perhaps you're here today and you're saying, you know what? I need to grow in some of these areas. I need to grow in my relationships with people who don't look like me. I would challenge you to have a conversation with Jesus about that and to see how God's Word in your life and how He would want you to grow in this area. And friends, as I talk about identity, some of you may be listening and say, you know what, I don't have any identity in Jesus Christ, but I want my identity to be in Him. I know that I've placed my identity in wrong things, in untrue things. And I know that I'm heading down a very dark path. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And anyone who wants to come to the Father must come through Jesus. And you can come to Jesus today. You don't have to wait. The woman at the well said, yeah, I know one day there'll be a resurrection. But Jesus said, I am He. I'm here today. And so friends, will we reach out for Jesus today? Will we trust Him with our lives? Because friends, He is the only one that's able to bridge the gap, the divide in our world today. Church, I love you, and I'm praying for you. We'll see you next Sunday.
Hey, thank you for joining today. The message Pastor Ryan had for us on injustice is a really tough one. It's one that we can't handle on ourselves by ourselves, and we're not going to have the answer, but we know who does. Pastor Ryan mentioned we need the Holy Spirit as a helper, so let's pray and ask for that now. Father, we come to you, the only one who can help us. God, we pray for an awakening within your kingdom to the injustices around us, God, because I know we can't do it on our own. We need you. Father, you love justice. You love when we love others, God, and we can't do that without being just. So, God, I pray that you would help us, myself and those who have listened today to Pastor Ryan and the truth that he delivered. God, we thank you for this opportunity to grow to be more like you. We pray these things in your name. Amen. Hey, thank you for joining, and we'd love to see you next Sunday. Have a great day.